want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, Proverbs chapter 18 tonight. I want to bring you just a fairly short message, and yet at the same time a simple message. I hope it will be a blessing to our hearts. You know, Jesus Christ is everything to us. And I mean that. I didn't believe he's who he said he was, who God said he was, who the Bible said he was. I wouldn't waste my time in the errors that I do. And when I do what I do, I don't think I'm wasting my time. I really believe that it's something God can use for his glory. And I pray tonight we'll leave here with a little more closeness to him. Father, thank you again for this book. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Spirit, help us exalt Christ tonight for our benefit who are Christians to understand how close he is to us in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read verse 24 to begin with. Well, Solomon said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. By the way, not only is that true for man, it's true for church. A church that really has a friendly atmosphere is a church that makes people feel comfortable when they're here and want to come back. The couple we had this morning said, Brother, I want to tell you, you got a friendly church. Now, I don't know of anything better other to be said of that other than that we stand for truth and stand for convictions. But I'm glad to know there are people who come in and feel the presence of friendly in our assembly here. And that's something that you can't teach in the sense of making people do that. They have to do it because they want to do it. You won't be friendly unless you want to do it. There's just nobody would do that. And by the way, there's a lot in this world of what keeps us from being friendly that goes on in our lives all the time. Then he said, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I don't know if you ever had a real close friend or not, but there's nothing in this world other than the Savior any better than a close friend. And by the way, that's not only just a friend outside the family. A man and his wife will not only be man and wife, but they want to be the closest of friends. It ought to be that we could go to our mate and say anything we want to say in the sense that's right, and even sometime be a sounding board and know that as a friend, they understand, as a helpmeet, as far as the wife is to the husband, she tries to do her best to help her husband when he's depressed, when he's down, when he's out, because he's going to have that. Men are seem to be more depressed at times than women are, though women do get depressed, and I want to be the sounding board for her. That's not easy sometimes, but I want to be that way. Not only are we husband and wife, friend, lovers, but friend is important because here again, there's a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. That says to me sometimes when husband and wife have problems in marriages, maybe they can't get it straight out in what a husband and wife should be, but you ought to understand what a friend is. And if a husband or wife can be a friend like they should be, then you'd understand they stick a good friend sticketh closer than a brother. Now look in chapter 17 and verse 17. Solomon said, a friend loveth at all times. Isn't that interesting? A friend loveth at all times. Now, should not a husband and wife love their mate all the time? Yes, they should. But sometimes things creep in and kind of cause chaotic conditions. But here he's not talking about a husband and wife who made a vow to each other. It's just a friend. He said, a friend loveth at all times. But a brother is born of adversity. That is, in the blood, brothers and sisters together are to share burdens. They're to share things in this life. A friend has no obligation to share anything with us except to be a friend. And because they are a true friend, they will share things with each other. And here's the thing about a friend. A true friend will not share what a friend shares with them to someone else. And that's what the Lord said here about this thing of friendship. Then I go over to the New Testament and I see what Jesus had to say in John chapter 15, and you read this many times too, but in John chapter 15, Jesus made this statement, and he said in verse 13 through 15, he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And it didn't say, family and otherwise. He said for his friend. There's no greater love. You expect that family do things for family, but there's no greater love, he said, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And he said, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, from hereafter, I call you not servants, For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I want to talk to you a few minutes tonight about, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Passover. He's the Messiah to the Jews. He has a lot of names. He's the Son of God. He has a lot of names that's given to him, and all of them are truthful. But here is a place that should be of great importance to you now who are saved. Not only is he my Savior, my God, my Passover, all these things, he's our friend. And what he says about a friend comes true when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. I read where there was an English restaurant, and they named it George and the Dragon. And one day, the wife of the husband who owned this restaurant, George and the Dragon, heard a knock at the back door of the restaurant. She went, and there stood a hobo, looked like he hadn't washed in months. And the hobo asked and said, "But can I have a bite to eat, please?" And for some reason, the wife just really went into a rage and said, "You come here back of this door, you hurt my business." She began to scream at him to leave and hit the street right now. "Don't you ever come back here again, stand and hurt my business and people come here," and so forth. She began to curse him and told him to hit the street. And slammed the door in his face. And then about that time, 2 or 3 minutes went by, she heard a knock again. And she opened the door, and there he stood again. He said, "Please, lady, now could I speak to George? I've already spoken to the dragon." She certainly was no friend at all, was she? And you heard the story about the fellow who came out of the voting booth. And when he came out, he saw this politician out there shaking his hand and handed him a check for $50 or gave him a $50 bill. And it upset the guy who was watching because he knew this guy wanted the same politician on his side and so forth. And he walked over to the guy, just got the $50 bill. He said, "Let me ask you, did you just sell your vote to that man?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, why did you vote for him?" He said, "I vote for him because he's my very best friend." He said, "But I just saw him give you $50. He said, "That's right. You got it right. That's the reason my best friend." Well, we're talking about a friend you can't bribe. We're talking about a friend that loves us and sticketh closer than a brother in the time of need. Friendship is a very serious and sacred thing. A true friend is rare. I wonder, think of yourself right now, who have you got that you can claim as a true friend? Now, we know Jesus is, but I'm talking about other than Jesus Christ. A true friend. Man's heart is always craving friendship. It is less trouble to make an enemy than it is to make a friend. You can make an enemy very easy. You know where you work at. It's not easy. It's not hard to make an enemy on where you work at. In fact, you sometimes just be there and make one. The way things are, especially when your values are different than what their values are. One person said to Abe Lincoln one time, "Mr. Lincoln, so-and-so is your enemy. You should try to destroy him, not make him your friends." And Abraham Lincoln, a wise man, said, "When I try to make friends with my enemies, I am destroying them." And that is true. Again, one brother said to another, he said this, he said, in another church, he said, "The closer to the Lord I am, the more I love my pastor. It amazes me how close I am to the Lord, how I love my pastor. And when I get further away from the Lord, how much I don't love him." You wonder why? Because this book gives us insight that if one is the spiritual leader that God has given us, trying to give us information that needs to be given in our lives, then when it's obeyed, God blesses and God honors. And you have that rapport that this brother was talking about. Someone said, "Happy is the man who is a friend, happy is the man who is a happy is the happy is the man who has a friend, happy is the man who is a friend." And then he says, "Happiest is the man who has a friend and is a friend." There's a difference between acquaintance, though, and friendship. When we talk about acquaintance means to know someone, but not intimately. You do not just give your heart to acquaintance. Acquaintance is the type of person that someone defined and said, a person you know well enough to borrow money from, but you know well enough not to lend them any. That's acquaintance. But when it comes right down to a friend is one to know, real well, and is fond of, and whatever the situation is, you can depend upon them. They will support you. They may not agree if something's wrong, But at the same time, they're doing it in a way so that you can see that they're friends. They state the truth, but they show you that they are literally your friend. In Proverbs 18:24 and also in 17:11, we see that. In James 2, verse 23, he says Abraham was called the friend of God. Also in Isaiah, he was called that. Jesus, again, I say, is my Savior. He's also my King. He's my Lord. He's my Passover. He's my advocate before the throne of God. And yet at the same time, what a joy it is to see, as he talks about being a friend to the disciples, he's a friend to us. And I have to understand that because, ladies and gentlemen, there's times in this world we need a friend that we can go to when no one else will understand. And he always understands. Though we can't see him with our physical eye, sometimes we wonder if he's there. But you know, if you walk with him, he's promised he'll be there. He's promised never to forsake us, never to leave us. So I assure you, wherever you're at in your life, he is there. And he's waiting, whatever has to be done, to show you that he cares. Jesus is our friend. He's my friend. And by the way, when I say ours, it's more personal than that. It's one thing to say collected, he's our friend. It's better to know that he's my friend. You can say the same thing. If you're saved, Jesus Christ is your friend. True friendship is tested in hard times. Jesus sticketh closer than a brother. Why? Because he tells us this, that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus loveth at all times. He tells us also that in Proverbs 17, verse 17. And when I find myself very lonely as a pastor, and that's a lot of times, when my wife and I find ourselves lonely, we give ourselves to each other in times of that time when we have no one else really can turn to. And by the way, there are times there are, because nobody else in this church will understand what she and I go through as a pastor unless you are a pastor. You just can't understand that unless you know what it is that you have, what's happening, the circumstance when you go through things. And no blessed thing in the world to have a wife who will follow you, because you need that when you go through trials. And many pastors have lost their position simply because the helpmate didn't do what they were supposed to do to help them at that particular time. So when I find myself alone as a pastor, I realize Jesus is my friend. He's a friend in every situation in life. He's a friend to the freshman in the dorm of college. He's a friend to the serviceman in boot camp. He's a friend to the shut-in whose world is a room, whose sky is a ceiling, whose sun is a 60-watt bulb, whose horizon is a wall, whose meta is a floor. He's a friend to those people when no one else seems to care. And sometimes you go to the rest home and they say, well, you know, family hadn't been to see me now in a couple months. I don't know if I got a friend in the world. It's so great for me to be able to say that. Yes, you do. I want to be your friend, but I don't know if I can. I don't know you that well. But Jesus Christ is always your friend. I assure you, he's there, and he's there to show that part about him. To the patient waiting along in the hospital room, Jesus Christ is their friend. To the senior citizen exiled in a rest home, Jesus Christ is their friend. To the widow trying to be a father and a mother to children, Jesus Christ is their friend. You don't think that's a hard place to be. You try it sometime and look at it when you have to be both. And so here I want you to know that Jesus, and you can say, is my friend. Say it with me, Jesus is my friend. Let me introduce you to him as a friend. You know the song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our griefs and sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Dr. Weigel wrote that song we sung a couple weeks ago. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would love to tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. Then that song, I have found a friend in Jesus, that we sang so many times. And then there's that one that there's not a friend like lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus is the friend you need, because he's a friend indeed. And we can know that when we trust him as our personal Savior. I'll give you 8 quick points. And by the way, they're short, but they'll be quick. You say, we'll be here at midnight. No, we won't. Just 11:30. Amen. We'll be out by then. But first of all is this. In this friendship, Jesus is always our friend. He's always. He's not a friend today and not tomorrow. It doesn't matter tomorrow if you get out of harness a little bit. He's still your friend. And if you're saved, he's closer than a brother. When I'm good, when I'm bad, when I'm up and down, happy, sad, prosperous or poor, successful or failure, honor or slander, cheerful or blue, obedient or rebellious, believe or doubt, laugh or cry, zealous or indifferent. Thank God Jesus will always be my friend. He's promised that. And when no other understands, I know He will. He's my friend. He looks beyond my faults and sees my need. Isn't that wonderful? You can't do that. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. But He looks beyond. He looks beyond your faults and He sees your need. And He does what He needs to do to supply that need. And sometimes it seems like it takes a while for Him to do that. But the end result, He will do that. I love that song. You know, He looked beyond my faults and saw. I want to sing tonight. My voice is about gone. But the chorus goes, I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that brought my fallen soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. I'm talking about a friend, folks. I'm talking about someone that sometimes it takes a little bit of time for us to stop and reminisce on at that particular time. He never deserts me. He never forsakes me. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's always on the job. I'm always on His mind. He encamps around about me. He restoreth my soul. He never gets tired of me. He never gets weary with me. Though there's times I'm sure there's things He would wish rather I would do than the things I do. And so it is with you. It's interesting as you walk with Him, what happens? He's always faithful. He's always true. He's always tender. He's always strong. He's my friend when I am forsook by others due to my convictions. And that happens a lot in these days when we have so much liberalism and so many things that's taken place when it comes to Scripture and what people believe. When I walk out of this pulpit depressed, and that happens a lot, not only have my friend, my wife, to try to encourage me, but I also know that Jesus Christ encouraged him. By the way, you can't teach this book in the age of grace of the modern sin that's going on nowadays and walk out from where you teach and not be depressed sometimes. Satan will see to it. Probably one of the reasons we can't get the people for different classes and teaching today is because teaching this book will bring depression. It will bring you down because Satan will do everything he can to fight you from teaching or presenting this book today in God's Word to people who sit and listen. It's a very depressing thing sometimes. When I walk out of this pulpit depressed and the dog won't wag his tail and the cat won't purr, I feel like I'm standing alone. I realize I'm not, though. There's always Christ. He's there. And there's my wife. She's there. Well, that's a joy. But so that's a joy. To know for a fact, not only one that I cannot see, and yet I believe Him with the depth of my soul. God has given me someone I can see and know that she's my friend as well as my wife and the one that we live together at the side of eternity. In my sorrow, He's there. Sometimes He's silent. That's for my good. Sometimes He speaks and He touches me in different ways, but He's always there. When I have delivered my soul and people mock me, when I have delivered my soul and people laugh at it, He says many times in the sweet voice of the hour, early in the morning or late at night, well done, son. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He's my friend. When I deliver my soul, and done what I felt the Lord would have done. Not only is my friend, He's my friend, always my friend. My friend is very rich. He owns the cattle of a thousand hills. With leftover gold, He pays the street of New Jerusalem. He uses the smallest pearls for His gates in glory. Every color expresses His beauty. Creation is His handiwork. Earth diadems could not house His diamonds. Lightning moves at His order. And again, thunder claps at His utter when He speaks. He is Lord of eternity. He's the master of time. He's my friend. And I say to you, he's yours. Number three, my friend always loves me. He died for me while I was a sinner. He loved me while I was against its holy purpose. He loved me at times when I mocked him ignorantly. And so have many of us. Well, I wouldn't stand out in the open and dare God to do something my fist. But I know what he said do and not do it. That's a mockery. That's a mockery. He loves me in spite of my pollution, failures. He loves me in spite of my depravity and weakness. He loves me not because, but in spite of me. He loves me when I say no and drift at times. He loves me when I don't study his word and pray like I should. And Lord knows, I seem like studying all the time just about, especially spare time we have. He's my advocate against slander. He's my advocate against critics. He stands and he pleads my case at the throne of God against Satan himself. Boy, what a friend we have in Jesus Christ. Not only is my friend always, my friend is well off, not only a friend that loves me. And he does exactly that at the throne of God. The Holy Spirit reveals that to us. My friend also has wrote me a wonderful love letter. The Holy Spirit inspired men to write what God lays on their heart to write. In Romans chapter 8, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul said, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good of them who love God who are called according to his purpose. I'm talking about a love letter. Isn't that wonderful? My friend will write to me and say, son, whatever you go through, don't you know all things work together for good to you that love God and are called according to his purpose. I look also in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, my life verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. After preaching this past Wednesday night, a fellow came up to me, he must have been in his late, early 60s. And he had a Bible. And he said, Brother Anderson, you do something for me. I said, sure, I'd be glad to if it's in my power to do. He said, I never had a preacher in my life sign my Bible. But would you please sign it tonight? God has really touched my heart. I preached on the purpose of God. I said, brother, you don't know what an honor I feel that because you asked me to do that. And I looked at, sure enough, he said, I've never had a preacher to sign my Bible before. That don't mean nothing to you. I know it don't, but it does to me. It tells me this guy meant business when he said God blessed his heart that night. And he was concerned. Again, Philippians 4:19, and this is two verses I always write when I sign Bibles. Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:19. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalms 91, verse 1, he said, if I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 1 Corinthians 13 said, his love will never fail. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's my friend. He loves me. His love will never fail. And he tells me in John 14, 1 through 3, he's preparing a place for me. My Father's house of many mansions, not so. I told you so. If I go, he said, I'll come again, receive him himself, that you may be where I am also. He tells us he is preparing a place for us. Not only do I see that he wrote this letter, love letter to me, that understand I can see God. Folks, please, please understand. For us to see God through the eyes of faith, and I said a single class this morning, we live in a materialistic world that God made of matter, and there's a veil between us and where God's at. And God is reaching from heaven through that veil into this material world, revealing himself to us. He's revealing himself, and he's given us this book to see who he really is. We stand on this side of the veil and look at everything. Ah, boy, isn't this amazing? Look at space. Wow, this must be a great, somebody, look at this space. And now we're seeing, you know, millions and millions of galaxies beyond just our galaxy. Wow, look at this. We look around us in this, man, look at this. And then we look in the microscopic world. Man, look at this. Can you imagine? I didn't know I had all this stuff in my body. Did you? Wow, this is wonderful. I wonder who made this. Did you know not anything that we see with our physical eye in this life tells us who made it? But God has issued this book through the veil. He inspired it and pearled it through the veil from his kingdom into this world for us to see what he's doing through his image, man. and what he wants to do in preparing us for his kingdom this time. It took 6 days for the creation. Can you imagine? And I guess God could have done all one day's of mine too, but he took 6 days for the creation to do what we see here. I wonder what heaven's like. Jesus has been gone 2,000 years. Fella, it's got to be something you and I can't even think about. And what always amazes me, and I used to think about it, that when you think about gold here, how valuable it is, and over there, he's out so much of it, he pays the street with. I wonder what kind of buying material we have over there. Can't use gold. You ever wonder about those things? You think it's all going to be free? Yeah. Salvation is. You have to go from there. You don't have no other way to tell. I'll tell you that. Think what heaven must be. The fruit must be good over there. When those men went over into the land of Canaan, Caleb and Joshua and those 12 spies came back with grapes so big they had to tote them on sticks and so forth. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in heaven when we get on the other side? Well, what about heaven? Not only that, my friend's gentle. It's not a weak gentleness. Kind of my thought the other day or a few weeks ago. You go down to the ocean. It's a vast, looking out across that water, just looks like it goes on to eternity with water. The vastness of that ocean. How it can become in a storm. Just a matter of a few minutes. A raging storm that no one can live in it. And yet in this vastness of that ocean, there's a little teeny, looked like about a year and a half to 2-year-old child with his dad sitting in the edge of the water. And that water just lapping up on his lap, just as gentle as it can be. I said, ain't an amazing thing? If I ever seen a comparison, I can understand how great that ocean is and powerful it can be. And yet now here's this little child right down, sitting right in the edge of the water playing in it. God's that way. It's a gentle greatness. He's great enough to speak in worlds of form, but he's also humble enough to come to us and be gentle with us as a friend. You're not getting it. Maybe you will, though. He walks and he talks with me. He tells him I'm his own. The joy we share will never, we tarry there, no other has ever known. My last thing, my friend, is generous. He gives me all I need and gives me more. Sometimes he'll try me to see, show me my test is true. Sometimes he'll try me and see if I will do what I'm doing and promise to him whether God does anything for me or not. He does that. Sometimes he lets me go through the valley a lot further than I'd love to go. But I know on either side, there's a hillside. And then when you get to the hillside, you have to look up. Somewhere down the road, God's going to cause me to look up. If I get my eyes on the circumstances and some sign gets so low I can't look up, there will come a place that God will cause me to look up. Because I must understand my help comes from him. When it comes to this life, he gives me all I need and much more. He understands me when no one else does. There is no friend like Jesus. He wants to be your friend, not only your Savior. He's rich, he's loving, he's always a friend. He wrote us a love letter. He's a gentle friend. He walks and he talks with us through his precious word. He's a generous friend. I'm talking about a friend, folks. There is no friend like Jesus Christ. If you leave here tonight and you say, I thank God that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm so grateful I understand that my relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. I am who I am in the presence of God because of Jesus Christ. Without his righteousness, I can never stand in the presence of God. Without his righteousness, I can never stand in heaven itself with him. Without his righteousness, I could not enter into eternity with him in heaven. He helped me by establishing righteousness for me so I can have all of that. But at the same time, as I travel in this life, get into my home, he's beyond that. He's my friend. Right here now, he's my friend. Sit with me. He's my friend. Better still, Jesus is my friend. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight, Lord, for a short message, and yet at the same time, a meaningful message, Lord, that we may look at and give you honor and praise as we talk about this attribute of Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe it all in my heart. There's times we feel so forsaken because of circumstances in life. We feel so down. When we're depressed, when we're put down to the place, dear Lord, we feel like at the bottom and the bottom itself has fell out again. Dear Lord, we're glad to know we have one who's eager to help us. He said he'd never leave us, forsake us. He's always there. And I pray tonight that this message, though short, have been that which the child of God can use for God's glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.